I'm familiar vaguely with Matt Kahn, but I don't remember talking with Ken Kaplan about him.
Okay. Apparently you guys talked about Matt Kahn. You weren't as hyped on him as he was.
Oh, that might have happened. I don't have any.
I have a water.
Rupert. Yeah.
So they were.
They were together.
Together in the interview.
Yeah.
And Matt Kahn has a. He started off from the
New York
Everything is a thing of our imagination.
I see.
Swinger.
So, but then he kind of like.
Even our imagination is a figment of our imagination.
So then he veered off.
Yeah. Yeah. Tag team non-duality.
So anyway, and he was talking about how everything is little scale to desire for accepting love.
Matt Kahn was saying that?
Yeah. And nobody else can do it because we're all the holiday, actually.
Yeah.
So if I project that somebody loves me,
yes,
it's in my holiday. If I project somebody hates me, it's in my holiday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's all the holiday, right?
Thank goodness for that.
scary holiday.
Scary but true.
So it's all in my holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way he refers to that. And so everything is about, like, wanting to love, you know, feeling. So I feel like.
He wants to play the love card, is that it?
Do I feel about certain situations? I guess you guys can really imagine what the situation I had, you know, thought about.
Yeah. Wait, did Matt or Rupert take him? Matt did.
But it wasn't like
it's called non-duality bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay.
I mean, he got him down and said, okay, so in your mind, you want better than that. So if he gets him down to, not to do it, not bad if I try.
Right.
My holograph doesn't do it for memory.
Yeah.
Typically. So, he gets him down to the guy wants to feel,
Oh, he wants to feel appreciation?
Yeah. Appreciation.
Poof, your appreciation.
Nobody can appreciate you but you. I thought I wasn't complaining or anything like that.
Right.
You know, he was like a fucking weird guy. So I thought about my whole, you know, I thought about a scenario that was like, it goes in my head. Well, really, what do I want, you know?
Good question.
And got down to, appreciation.
That's really, really what you want is appreciation? That was your best shot?
Okay, what is appreciation?
Yeah.
Well, it's acceptance, right?
Okay, we can go there. Yeah.
So, I want love and acceptance.
Poof, you're love and acceptance.
Yeah, right. But nobody here can get that.
Why would you want that from the likes of this group?
Yeah.
Okay, because I guess, you know, I mean, the fact that there's a lot of psychological stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know, it means not many stuff in the person,
yeah, right.
Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Likeable, you know.
Right. So, sure. How'd it go?
And basically, he's thinking you just have to continue to think, you know.
You have to continue.
I love me.
Oh, so now we're in a mantra loop of love and acceptance, like an affirmation, right?
Yeah. Kind of.
Okay.
But just sort of recognizing that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, even.
I have pancakes and bacon. All right, we started that.
Thank you.
Started.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's the, you know, that's the affirmation path of myth. And, yeah, so knock yourself out. Look where it got mad. He's being interviewed.
Yeah, and if I was being interviewed,
yeah, yeah, yeah. If you were being interviewed like Matt, you would have the love and acceptance that you crave.
Except that would last for me.
15 minutes? How long does any moment last? A little less than 15 minutes. Yeah.
There we go.
Behind you and then. I had a French omelet.
Oh, yeah, no, I had two French omelets. I didn't order a French omelet.
I ordered.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, this was your omelet. This one right here. Sorry about that.
Who's is that omelet?
That's Catherine's omelet, probably. Is that a country omelet?
No, we're country. Yes.
What's
that?
No,
that's not mine.
What's that in there?
Green shit in.
Mushrooms, broccolini.
You don't like green.
Oh, you got the green
wow.
Shit on?
I don't think any of these. I don't think they brought you the right one.
This is fine. It's what I ordered inside, and so I'm fine with that. Maybe they just mixed up the French and the country or something, but I don't really care.
It's what do you got in your hand?
Arbitrary to me.
Cheddar mushroom bacon, right?
There
you go.
Oh, man.
Okay. And he'll eat anything, so just put it in front of him.
Different toast.
Did you want another piece? Because you deserve one of his.
I don't know if I even care, really. I never really eat the toast half the time.
Things are going our way. So what? Was there a deliverable?
They had, like, jelly, but they don't. They have, like, really crappy jelly. High fructose corn syrup and sugar.
Well, I mean, was that?
No, nobody can make me feel the idea.
That's true.
Thanks.
Kinda. Yeah.
What I'm really looking for is good vibration.
Good. So you're a Beach Boys fan? Yeah. Yeah. You know how the affliction gets started. Whatever this is or isn't is apparently occurring. which is full of, right, phantasm, including feeling and senses and what we call life and time and dynamism beyond the pale, beyond imagination. And then there's an association with this occurring, that it's occurring to me as a separate person, as a separate body, as an individual packet of, you know, feeling and texture and tone. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the point being is that you can only occupy your own experience, right? You can't occupy someone else's experience. And even though there may appear to be other people other than you, they are just appearing in your experience. So the takeaway then is that whatever is occurring is appearing in your experience, and you're the sole occupant of that experience. So if you reach out to puppets and say, hey, puppet, love me. Hey, puppet, appreciate me. Hey, puppet, make me feel better about myself. You're simply soliciting dreamed characters in your experience to give you something that you think you either don't already have or for some reason don't deserve. What do you mean? Yeah.
Appreciation.
Yeah, appreciation. Yeah. Can you please pass the appreciation? Yeah. Yeah. Has anybody got a side of love?
You're going to have to settle for sweet and low. The love restaurant.
Sweet and low rather than mildly depressed.
Yeah. But you might notice that no matter how much love and appreciation either a puppet gives you or you affirm for yourself, it's unsatisfactory. It doesn't last and it doesn't work. It doesn't really, even though you think you're giving yourself what you imagined you'd hoped for, and then you accomplish it for a couple minutes, a couple days, a couple whatever, it's going to turn out to be unsatisfactory. And then you have to go back to square one and say, well, wait a second, I gave myself copious love and appreciation through affirmation, through honopono wanawana, right, forgiveness, through Course in Miracles. I gave myself everything I thought that it was that I wanted and needed, and I'm still irritable. I'm still restless. I'm still distracted. I'm still a culprit, you know, to imagination and fear and projection and anxiety and, you know, a million psychiatric afflictions and the profundity of nonstop insecurity. Even after I gave myself all that stuff, back to the drawing board, Matt. Well, it's a way to travel.
It better work.
Yeah, really.
We're in big trouble.
Yeah, it better work or we're in big trouble. Yeah. Thank you. That's great.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah. Right back to some more coffee. Everybody else got everything they need?
Yeah.
We need to order. That's correct.
You see, what's really bothering you is the presumption that you're a disparate creature occupying time. No amount of love and appreciation is going to act as a successful solvent for that.
Overwhelmed with concern for, like, what's going to happen to you, how you feel, how you're doing, what's your whatever your arbitrary analysis of what's going on in your life is, overwhelms and consumes your whole psyche.
Yeah. Yeah, you're consumed by the presumption that you're...
Speaking from my own experience.
An individuated creature occupying time.
And as long as you're that, you truly are free.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No matter how much you try, no matter how many solutions you pull forth, you're still ultimately going to be free.
Yep. Yeah. Love and appreciation, whether launched as a do-it-yourself project or heaped upon you by others, is not going to relieve you of the burden of self. Sure, yes, but let's just say you have to look at that inference a little more carefully, because I'm my own little universe can mutate, if you will, into I'm and this is nothing at all. So whether you're a creature in a larger universe or you're your own little universe, the misery of affliction can persist.
Okay.
That misery... only closes down, goes out of business when you and this are nothing at all. Otherwise, we scramble for one or a million forms of security, and love and appreciation is, you could say, a solution, a symptom of security. Were I loved, were I appreciated, then I might not be so alone, I might not be so cranky, I could get what I need, and that would be another, you know, another investment in security. And the appetite for security will not, cannot abate as long as you're individuated and in time.
How do you become individuated?
You go out to breakfast once in a while.
Okay. I think I might be able to get that. I need a pause, but yeah.
You know, most people that were at Hanalura's memorial service are fond of light and love and twinkles in the eye and generous and compassionate behavior and spooks and ascended masters and people with knowledge. Very few of them, though I didn't really get a chance to interview most, are interested in the abatement of the myth of individuation and time. They just want this to be a New Age panacea. Which it is, and it's not. If you go to the root of craving, I would suggest you might find something more subtle, more embedded, deeply embedded, than what love and appreciation can actually do for you. But until that time, you can always join Matt Kahn's web subscription-based service, and heap love and appreciation upon yourself as the sole occupant of your unique universe. $3,000 later, we'll talk. Just wasn't working for you?
Just not that hungry anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to sit next to you next time.
I don't even like some of this.
The human garbage disposal here, you know, it's good to say.
It's like my father. The worst and the best part, just clean that over here. You know, he's collect up the extra bones, you know, and break down to the gristle. Well, it seems like that possessive pronouns gets us in trouble. Any communication when we have the I and something we possess or own, like my life, my appreciation or non-appreciation, my love or not.
Well, sure, but even if you change the vocabulary of possession, you're still deep, deep in possession.
Because I've just come up with another clever way.
Huh. You're Matt Kahn. I'm going to interview you. Just tell everyone to stop using I, me, my in a sentence, and they'll be fine.
George Harrison.
Right?
It just struck me as you were talking, it's the law of opposites. If you want to believe love can heal you, then you almost have to believe that hate can hurt you. So I actually just don't want to believe either.
I believe nothing.
That's right. I'm good. Good to go.
You've transcended.
Well, I asked myself, if I had all the love and appreciation, if I felt all that love and appreciation,
yeah.
For others, for my job, right? What's next?
That's right.
You've disappeared.
Yeah. Chop wood and carry water.
I think it's just...
No, we haven't tried that.
Yeah. You're super saturated with so much love, you cease to exist.
But there's nothing else.
Yeah. Go the distance. Right? I mean, that's your instinct is right on. Now, put it to use. Or at least experiment with how successful or enduring, you know, that approach might be, how far it might take you. I mean, you would become less annoying to the people around you?
Then if I don't want to hate the fire
anymore. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, if I'm hanging out in pure love and acceptance, then I would prefer that you go on a hateful tirade so I could be entertained.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? If we were all sitting around in perfect love and acceptance, there would be nobody to entertain us. That would suck. We might even stop watching Hulu at that point. Good morning. Hi. If we're deploying a strategy or a solution for some kind of common or transcendental angst, it's not going to work. You have to somehow go head first, belly flop, into the angst itself. Into the presumed solidity of individuation. Into the presumed solidity of time, of space, of body, of mind, of consciousness, of sensation, of emotion, self-preservation, mood, accumulation. You really have to investigate the in full tapestry of what we call I me my, or what we call experiencing. Because if you're solution oriented, then you haven't really done a sufficiently depthful investigation of the nature of your first-hand experience. You're only reflexing away from it because it hurts. And because it hurts, you shy away from going deeper into it and then seek for superficial strategies or interventions or explanations to make it hurt less. What'd you find?
That's what I was just saying. I just went deeper into it and I found that what I was really looking for was appreciation.
Yeah.
And then I just said that I went deeper into it and I got all that. That's right. Always present, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we are.
It would be like...
Not it would be like. It better be present. Not what it would be like. How about now? Not to put you on the spot or anybody on the spot, but... You know, I mean, a hypothetical adventure into dissolution is, of course, fantastic. I mean, it's as fun as anything. But, well, here we are here, whatever here is, or now, whatever now is. So is that resolution, dissolution, effulgence of love and acceptance present in your experience? And really, I have no right to ask, so you don't have to answer me. It's just, this is, you know...
I'm not feeling the love, Jeff.
Yeah. Right. You know, no one really has the, you know, the rhyme reason to, let's say, investigate someone else's degree of awakening or non-degree of awakening. You know, that's kind of a little preposterous, a little rude.
Really? It seems to happen all the time.
When? Where? Well, you're allowed to do it with celebrities.
What?
Nothing. But okay, so without antagonizing your undefended generosity.
I'm just reporting on what I heard.
Okay, well then you might then have a meaningful path to follow, which is to provide yourself as often as you can, as depthfully as you're permitted, to gift yourself with enough love and appreciation so that perhaps someday, why not right now, you become unhinged. I think so. Probably. It would have to be if he was making money. You know? Couldn't shortchange anybody. So it sounds like a useful hypothetical. It's up to you, should you be so inspired, to go the distance with it.
It's an invitation to actually do it. Okay,
no. Yeah, do it.
You don't have to, like, reject, you know, like, you want to do that. That's cool. And, like, but the experience of investigating.
So I can try it. Okay.
kind of feeling
in all the wrong places. And you already have a theme song.
I gotta have the wrong places.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great. Give it your best shot if you're fond of it, if it attracts you. And see where you go with it.
Usually that giving yourself love and appreciation in this world seems to translate into, oh, I'll just have another drink, or, you know, I'll have another drink. But frequently that giving yourself love and appreciation translates into predictions.
It can, sure.
Like, and that's not always the kindest thing you can do.
Maybe.
It's hard to pin that down. What is love and appreciation for yourself? Well, you know, I'm going to be so loving and appreciative of myself. Screw work. I'm just not going to go there.
I don't like you. My ketchup.
And then it comes back. Mm-hmm. And
there's a whole ketchup there. You want your own ketchup? Because I'm like a 3-year-old. I can't share my ketchup.
Depends on how short it is.
Well, it's so subtle, and there's so many things. I mean, how would you even know what... Like, this woman the other day at the acupuncture thing asked me, oh, maybe you want to look into the spiritual significance of, you know, could just be physical, could be spiritual, could be a combo. I'm like, it could be so many goddamn fucking things that it's not worth my time to investigate it. That's what it could be, you know? That's kind of the... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's really not...
You put a needle in my face and be quiet.
Yeah, and I can feel. That's a self-experience. I can feel the energy, the electricity all moving. It's felt, you know? So that's cool. I don't have to not do it, but to then take it and try to investigate and get into all the little nitty-gritty of, like, therapy and why, and then, like, I don't know.
I like the don't know aspect of it. To approach it with the don't know.
I don't know. Listen, it reminds me of my inner child work I used to do. Which actually was helpful. You know, having a conversation with my inner child and telling her how much I love her and all that. I really did find that helpful.
Yeah,
well, this doesn't sound that different.
Well, that, ironically, was sort of the thing from the acupuncture, the little tiny research that I did was, like, self-hatred. But depending on which website you go to and what, you know what I mean? And then it's like, what do you do about it? And really, I feel like it's really seeing under the radar of that is, like, what he's suggesting, I feel like, is in the every second, you're enough, this is enough, this is
oh,
it.
Believe me, I'm totally sold on that.
And so then you don't have to do,
yeah.
If you can, you don't, the approach.
At the time, it was helpful.
Yeah,
more
sure.
Right now, it really wouldn't do much.
So you're suggesting looking beyond that what seems to be appearing to, is there enough right here in this chair right now? Is there enough right here? And it seems like when you come to just here, there is always.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, even the notion of enough is felt by whom?
Yeah, it's all.
Is measured by whom or what? I don't want to do, you know, that cheap Ramana Maharshi trick. You know, who wants to know? But even something that we could call absolute sufficiency with sufficiency to spare, more than enough. What exactly is more than enough? How is it felt by me?
Something other than...
Well, something other than human is what I meant by that in some way. Something other than within the human framework of my clothes, my job, my hair, what I look like, whatever. All the game structure, whether I love people or not, what my relationships look like, how they're going...
And that's what we're peering into.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
What's here that's sort of beyond the whole of insufficiency or
yeah, you
for example,
yeah.
What's inherent in my consciousness, in my this idea of every time something that's not together a picture is made up, trying to say something about it, right? So one person says, well, love and appreciation. So what's showing up in my house is not, don't take your personal right. One person, my mind sharing to me, or something sharing to me, love and appreciation can go off on a tangent of addiction.
Yep.
Okay. Love and appreciation sounds like some kind of, inner child, helpful kind of thing, right?
Right.
Love and appreciation sounds like big band music that's really cool and great horns and rapping.
Yep.
Love and appreciation sounds like contemplation, Love and appreciation, it's sort of like, because that's what you all are sort of reflecting to me, but it's not you all. It's the hologram.
Yeah.
The form of you all.
Yep.
And you're saying, think about it differently. That's what I'm hearing from you.
You're right.
Death.
Yeah.
You're saying, look at it differently.
Yep.
So, I'm just chatting these ideas around. I'm not saying that what he's saying is the all and end all.
Yeah, of course. There you go.
You're giving me much of that that I don't need?
Maybe,
such a clean guy.
Maybe too late.
I'm seeing the translation in my head that appreciation can be heightened noticing in presence. Appreciating this or noticing this. I know appreciation implies a little bit more affection for this presence or whatever it is that self or otherwise. But kind of notice. With a kind of openness, because appreciation implies it. There might be a wow with that a lot of times. What is this?
Yeah.
Could that be, appreciation?
Well, we always...
Without a self.
Yes. We always place ourselves in the storyline. Either to, to do something, to think correctly, or to think in a more subtle manner, to feel in a more subtle manner, to benefit from a body of teachings by virtue of what they imply, and then I conduct myself differently when I'm relaxed, when I'm dealing with stress, when I'm feeling retributional or at risk. So you see this as it's self-reflecting, right, in the privacy of its own universe, with no effort on your part, continues to suggest a durable agency, namely you, that is on the receiving end of something called perception, including the objects and components and sentiments and textures of perception. Sometimes those elements and textures can suck, but that's okay, because love and appreciation, whether of a primate nature or a spiritual nature, is always on tap. So I might be able to wiggle free of any unwanted experiencing that may be going on. And so I'm not accusing anyone of it. We're just looking at the geometry of how, right, reflective mind functions. Oh, yeah, I can. Oh, yeah, this has really sucked, but now I have one or a half a dozen tools, so I for sure can make it suck less next time sucking comes around. And I'm not saying that that's false or true or good or bad. It's just you can see, you know, in the texture of your own experience. Yes, right. So there's a sense of durable agency appearing in either one's own universe or as a creature in a larger universe. Doesn't matter all that much. And I had better work out what is at my disposal to make this suck less next time sucking comes around.
Probably the next moment.
Yeah, which could be sooner than we thought.
And that would, you know, the end result, as we sit here as humans talking about it, is that we're all idiots and we're all losing.
Totally.
Every
totally.
One of us has never succeeded at that game. And I guarantee you, every one of us has given it our best shot at that game.
All right.
So
well,
where are you when you finally? I gave it my best shot. Everything in my entire life I've ever given my best shot at, pretty much goes. This one.
Yeah.
It's not because I haven't given it my best shot. It's not because. I think the tools don't work.
I didn't want to call it the losers and posers sangha. Why don't you join up?
Pretty accurate.
But it's true.
It is.
Yeah, it's true.
It is.
You know, something like Night Sky Sangha was like, oh, what does that mean? Oh, what's
that
about?
Story.
You know,
cool.
I might even read one sentence from that guy. But if it's the losers and posers sangha, I don't know.
Who would want to identify? Right?
You think they'd be pouring in, right?
Oh, look, we even have a cute acronym. It works.
I like PS, Labs.
That sounds very successful.
And we can have an alternate way.
Lab Song, Suchon.
No one will ever know what it is anyway. It's like Noah. Nobody knows what the acronym stands for.
Well, this is an elegant catharsis. Until we go, kicking and screaming or through humor or existential crisis, to the fact of loser and poser, we're going to remain defended and hopeful and strategizing and accumulative. We're just going to keep denying what this already is and fill ourselves with a million distractions.
Loser-poser-rocket.
That's right.
Well, loser and poser is completely and totally okay because it's the only game in town. So you're like, all right.
Yeah.
What? You know?
Yeah.
Not like I'm actually, nobody else is actually winning. So there's no, like,
right.
No issue, really.
Yeah.
Can we call ourselves the lovers who look like haters?
Yeah. Poser's gonna pose, 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 pose.
Planting posies.
Well, one of the things he did say was, if you get to this certain Skymark time, something that long,
you can't even lay out
yet, it feels.
Oh. No, I just don't like Matt. Yeah, right.
He said if he got this sort of that like love state, we don't care. It's not like you love love, not
seeing. Right. Yeah, so that's right. The deliverable of saturating yourself with enough love and acceptance to knock you over the cliff, bring you over the hump, means the cessation of seeking. Results in the cessation of insufficiency. So you don't have to keep heaping the love and the appreciation on yourself because you're done. You're baked.
Losers and posers club.
Yeah.
Getting to the end of the line, admitting your insufficiency, doing anything about it. about it. It's step one.
Oh, that's another thing.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
That's another thing they said. Bruce, yeah. Even Bruce was saying was that. You have to be absolutely honest with yourself.
Who the hell is even capable of being absolutely honest?
Yeah.
It's a moving target.
You have to know yourself to be honest with yourself. So how can you know yourself?
So, right? Yeah, I mean, we can appreciate.
Who would name their kid?
We can appreciate the implication. In other words, if you're still defended and you're anything but a loser and a poser, then you'll flail about in that land, that world.
So, well, that's the whole point.
Yes. So being honest with yourself is more or less like consenting to the fact that you're actually a loser and a poser. Yeah. Right.
So if I accuse somebody of being vying for a position, you know, like using aggressiveness to vie for a position.
Yeah.
I can see some of these spiritual shows too.
Yes. Right.
Vying position, right?
Yeah.
Or is it business people, you know, like spiritual people selling these services.
They could be the wait staff at the hattery.
They could be the wait staff at the hattery, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, what happens to our friends, right? So, right, the losers and the losers. Right. I mean, but that's being honest with
yourself. Sure.
If we put certain people at this table,
yes,
they might not be able to acknowledge them. My brother might not be able to acknowledge them.
I hope he comes next week. Yeah. Yeah, you don't enter into a conversation like this one unless something, you know, unless something. Loser and poser is as good as any, I don't know.
As best I can tell, to at least point to, this is not going to get you
anywhere. Yeah. If you hit the wall and kind of slow down, you're going to give it up.
Every whatever this is, right?
Every click.
Decap.
Every click is, right, an absolute refresh of completely transcendent effusion. Every click. And the habituation to what we call human consciousness is the very definition of insufficiency. The very definition of vulnerability, because this field of devotional chaos is so off planet, though planet seems to be where, you know, we meander, just slightly above the surface with pretty much every mammalian, bacterial, viral, and other creature that, you know, hangs out here. Under the miraculous canopy of a stable atmosphere. Sufficiently stable so that we can take another, thank you, ingestion of the invisible gas. It's bananas. And you can see, may I have absolutely some as well? Have a cup as far enough. And so what happens to our consciousness? We habituate to the truly wild chaos of being itself, and then make our day, the value of our day or the value of our life, overwhelmed by fear, and rejection and accumulation and how much we can get out of this between now and the day we die. We're so small in terms of the texture of our consciousness, what we have come to believe and hold dear, and then what we do to navigate some kind of optimization of security or things like love and appreciation or even spiritual experience to make it not just the best there can be, but the best, but that mine is better than yours.
That's important.
Totally important.
A really funny, like, I'll constantly have these kind of residual, like, I'll hear a good piece of music or something and be like, I wish I could play music like that. And then I'm like, this, I actually have to check myself and be like, you are. By listening to it and experiencing it right now, that is the same. It's not only physicality. We think it's just this, and as long as I'm not doing it, and being, I can't tell everyone about it and be recognized for it, and then I'm not doing it.
That's right. That's right.
And then, of course, we're like jealous of everyone else because if you're like me, you suck at everything. And whatever.
Yeah, so
it's just a very different way of, like, it's interesting to interact in that level.
So
like,
what the body,
watching two other people love each other is the same as you loving, same, it's an experience of love. It's just the same.
So what the body is doing is real, but that if I'm just listening to music, that can't be real.
Yeah.
I have to have the fiddle in hand and on the stage with the other members of the orchestra for it to be real.
Well, so that it can be about me, so that I can say, I produced this piece of music, and then I can go tell all my friends, and, you know, and feel accomplished, and like,
well,
I did
what,
that.
What's interesting is how we distort an instantaneous feeling of love and appreciation.
Right.
The person giving us that music.
Yeah.
We'll twist it into, I wish it was me, we're jealous of them, and it turns into
I've tried to play a music instrument for my whole life, and I failed.
Right.
Why me? Why can't
I? So, so you can see how reflexive and persistent this capacity to convert transcendent effusion into something that's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's really abstract, whatever the not okay is. It's usually just so...
Well,
the
myth of self, the myth of time, the myth of space, the myth of insufficiency are all abstract. They're abstracted. From what? From an unyielding field of transcendent beatitude that doesn't quit. How did that come about?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense that we, whatever human is or isn't, could become self-convincingly, thoroughly under the influence of an abstract hypnotism, which has absolutely nothing to do with what we might refer to as reality.
Well, or you could say everything, in a sense, is an abstract hypnotism. That's just what this does, and that's just another seeming layer of it in some way.
Yes. That's why it's fun to ask the question, what about your present experience is not a thought? What if anything about your present experience is not one or another subtle demonstration of abstraction? For your clients.
Anything is really...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that sensation is not an abstract.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
I know. It's really weird.
I mean, because I experience right now space and time seemingly, like things seem to be moving, the clock's ticking, lights seem to be over there and not touching me, but that's not actually the case. So that's all kind of... abstracted.
Yep. if maybe, reality...
Maybe the tingly little tingle, but I don't even know what that means.
Yep.
Because, like, is that physical tingly? Is that...
Yep.
If you're honest, always winds up in total oblivion.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it does. but it's funny. It's an oblivion that persists.
Yeah.
You know, oblivion in a sci-fi movie will be, you know, so long and thanks for the fish, never to be seen or heard from again. But this oblivion is like, fuck, this is oblivion. Persistent oblivion.
What?
You know, look it up in the dictionary. Persistent oblivion.
It's funny because that is a reoccurring imaginary theme within the human framework, is that, like, we're going to go somewhere. Like, you're going to, in New Agey things, you're going to, like, traverse to a new dimension.
Yes.
Or you're going to, you know, the world's going to be annihilated, or there's going to be some big shift you're going to go.
Yes.
Like, you're going to get to go somewhere else.
That's right.
Like, because we're stuck in that physicality, we wouldn't even know if you're, like you're saying, it's like a...
Well, not just physical, even the notion of spirit. Let's say your physical were obliterated from the blast of a compassionate alien.
Right.
And now, instead of having to toil on Earth and work and talk to your investment advisor, you could be durably disembodied. Now you don't have suffering any longer because you don't have to bathe yourself or go out on a date.
Right. So the only way that we apparently, one of the major themes of a mode to get out of suffering is either like dealing with your inner child, or you just obliterate into, you die, or you go to another dimension, or the end of the world happens. It's just a funny another game that we play, and it's like, oh, and then suffering will be over. That's the only option we can come up with. Or something. It's just an imaginary.
All we're really talking about, all the times we talk about stuff, is just how comfortable can you be right about now with persistent oblivion?
It's hard to be comfortable in it sometimes, like the grasping mechanism is intense.
Where the subject of music came, right before I got on the car, the things were doing.
Thanks, I got lemon or
coffee house, which is probably David Gray.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else want water?
But he said, sometimes when he's being interviewed by somebody, he said sometimes it's like the music is writing itself, like it's asking to be brought in, and he's not really doing it.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, some of these rock stars or whatever, to be like that, they can hurt them.
Artists reveal this experience, physicists reveal this experience, sports professionals reveal this experience.
Not sports.
Even sports.
I will not. No.
Even if you've deflated the ball. And all of those revelations, you see, what's funny is that we are fond of the artist and the musician and the politician or anyone that's permitted to have a public catharsis without being arrested. And we extrovert thinking, oh, they got it going on. My question might be, well, how's this?
All the other kids.
The weirdest one.
The other kids.
I mean, isn't this, even though we may not be engaged in a musical or sports or, you know, endeavor of, you know, life-saving physics, aren't we channeling, you could say, this, or isn't this just doing itself and we're like dumbfounded by the present paradox of persistent oblivion?
We're having in the middle of a music magic show.
We are right now having exactly the catharsis that all of those folks have spoken about. But you don't go home and say, man, I went to the Hattery and it was just pouring through me.
Yeah, there's that in the show for it.
Pouring through me. Because you don't have a piece of art or a script or musical notation or a sports trophy to show for the fact that this is just pouring through you. So you don't think anything of it. You know, whatever's happening at this table should be on the NFL today. You know, it's funny.
I'm dripping.
We're
too much information.
We're so invested in trying to make circumstances and events turn out the way we think we need them to turn out for the sake of imagined security, at the expense of enjoying ourselves.
Yep. I just like read that this morning randomly in a Walden. I just opened the book and I'm like, this is like, that was like three sentences of what it was. Basically the same back in the day, people accumulating farms, and he's like, you don't enjoy shit, you just walk around trying to...
What were you saying?
Oh, never mind. It was off target anyway, I think we should just...
You're sweating through.
Yeah, through Walden. Sorry.
It's a curious adventure to make it appear as if you're returning to what's already so. Yeah. Yeah. Now, as we pull the covers off of this reflex to accumulate and imagine and abstract at the expense of enjoy, then you could say all the emotional strategies, psychological strategies, behavioral strategies that lent themselves to this profusion of denial, deferral, and dismissal start to pour out, if you will. Not that they're actually that important, but as you shift gears from distraction to arriving, then psycho-emotional material that may have lent itself to your distracting will come out like a deep healing, like a homeopathic process. Like totally fuck me, because all the stuff that we had successfully sublimated or marginally successfully sublimated through infancy on up into a world of hysterical distraction now starts to kind of roll back in as we show up for a conversation like this one. And so there's a catharsis process that is occurring. It's not important that it does. You don't have to try to get any extra mileage out of it. It's just part of the organic process of withdrawing from the hysteria of distraction. As we withdraw and we become, you could say, more organically authentic as a loser and a poser with nothing left to lose, then catharsis will occur. We're off-gassing. We're just off-gassing. And that's cool. I mean, sometimes the off-gassing can be really intense if one has suffered one or a thousand forms of serial abuse. You could even say it's impossible to off-gas if the injury has gone so deep into the system that, you know, sorry, next lifetime. But if we're of, like, you could say, most people that have been abused just enough, then it's possible to outguess and come to revelation.
Then your parents were abusing you
just enough. That's really, yeah. I was abused just enough.
Revelation.
Yeah, this is just right. This amount of abuse and neglect and insult, manipulation, was just right. Now I can off-gas all the way back to self-realization. Thank you so much.
Just thinking of that horrible, who's that narrator that does In a World for the movies? And it's like you go In a World, and then you have this whole thing, and this is like kind of like scratching the record. It just keeps going back to In a World, and you like can't get past. It's like you just rewind.
Yeah, ruminations within a world. It'll take on.
But you can't get past that. You're like, I can't get out of it. There's no way to keep going back.
What we're doing is not psychiatric. It's not emotional. It's not even fucking contemplative. That character from Worcester, Massachusetts, John Kabat-Zinn, he can go fuck himself. That's how much I love him.
Himself.
We found love right where
right
we are.
Where we are.
Gotta love it.
I told you he was already jumping down that guy. I was talking to this guy yesterday. The woman whose story was passed away. I had a conversation with one of the Japanese, and he mentioned this guy, Matt Khan, who did an interview,
It turns out to be just that easy.
Bottom line?
Well, it turns out that
you as a person, as a compilation of memory, are irrelevant, unreliable, and absolutely without utility. So if you try to heal that, you're wasting your time.
What if it's completely effortless for someone to be just fixated on what it is that hurts them the most, and it's in presence? I mean, not that that's real or anything, but if it's so captivating of attention,
right?
And you want to do something,
yeah.
Chances are you're going to play with it. You're going to do something with it. Right?
Yeah, no question.
But I guess it's just not having it. Not making it so thick, in a sense. It's layered. But that happens too.
Yeah.
Different layer. Yeah, the meaning.
You grow to be, you could say, somatically, not just somatically, but you must grow somehow to be somatically accustomed to the vibratory effusion or the vibratory signature of reality on its terms. If you enlighten spontaneously, then you have no choice. Because, you know? But for we, you know, blue-collar types that don't have that kind of luxurious karma, we have to play around with sneaking up on this as it's sneaking up on us. So from that point of view, while we're sneaking up on it and it's sneaking up on us, part of the dance is becoming texturally, somatically accustomed to, right, the vibratory signature of reality. Not because you actually occupy it. You can't occupy it. You have to become sufficiently accustomed to it to interfere with the reflex to run.
Yeah. That's really true.
The reflex to dismiss. You must, yeah, you have to get, nothing, but from a yogic point of view, right, a process-oriented point of view, as your so-called consciousness is unfolding and getting accustomed to what this might actually be, not what you think it is, you then work with A, the outgassing, right, and B, I'm sure there's Z and beyond, that you actually learn to let this in. Feel it on its terms. Without swinging into hyperbole. Dismissal, deferral, avoidance. Yeah. Because we're so preoccupied with this has to become something or I have to become something in order to make a contribution to my future security. Right? And it's like, no, put that down. Don't make any contribution to your future security. Don't make this about something. Don't even make it about something that appears to be occurring to you. Really, just put yourself down and get jiggy with it. Feel it. There's nothing obviously wrong with heaping love and appreciation on yourself or, you know, others. I mean, metta practice is a way of entering into the field of love and appreciation, of well wishes for friends, mentors, people you don't like, people you don't know, creatures great and small. Perhaps somewhere in there, or finally, you heap this generosity of love and appreciation, of non-harming, well-wishing to self. And you end up bathing in just an ocean of stone. But even that could become, you know, a certain kind of a fetish, you know, or a trap. Like, I love the way I feel when I go on a metta retreat. I have to make an appointment for the next one. If it turns out that instead of going to Walmart and then a movie theater with your weapon, yeah, a metta retreat might turn out to be a good idea.
That's an actual thing?
What?
A metta retreat.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they are the shit. And they are also challenging because it's a concentrated adventure of outgassing.
What are you talking about? A metta retreat?
Yeah. Sharon Salzberg has kind of set herself up as the queen of metta in the West. I think because when it came to, let's say, succinct vipassana, she's just way too dizzy a gal to pull that off. And so she ended up going into fuzzy land, which is, you know, natural for her, into, you know, metta. which is very fuzzy. It's very plasma-like.
That was my question. So meta is fuzzy.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be fuzzy because it's like the overarching kind of disassociating with the nitty-gritty, maybe.
You know? Yeah. You know, like a Shinzen is, right, he has the capacity to be remarkably succinct and nuanced. To some, to the point of madness. To others, it's food, right? But he's like the 180-degree polar of someone like Sharon, who's just, you know, we're not all done. Sorry.
Yeah.
Which is, she's just, you know, diffuse and dissociative by nature. So then she's good on a meta retreat, because now you're in a kind of dissociative plasma. But I can't count how many people I know that have, could we say, realized on a meta retreat. Probably hundreds of thousands. They just don't call. You know? I don't know.
This is a live caller show. We could ask.
Yeah. Next caller. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bill Blase from Chattanooga, and I went on a meta retreat, and I woke up. Thank you, Bill. Next caller. I mean, we get 10 in a row, we say, well, fuck me, I was wrong. There must be something to it. I mean, what we're playing around with is a kind of a voluntary participation in a plasma. We're not doing, you know, metta. We're not doing vipassana. You know, we're not even doing non-duality. Thank God for that. We're not doing love and appreciation, diffusion. But if you really... let's say, take yourself, whatever that implies, and feel what this is. And for just a few moments, not invest in a conclusion. You don't want anything from it. You don't want to avoid anything. You don't have an explanation or a genesis. Here this is. You can't actually place yourself in space or time unless you imagine it to be so. You can't place yourself as being the consequence of anything. You can't place yourself as this having some utility which can either benefit or harm you in a future which does not exist. All of that is abstracted, imagined. So we play around with resting in this already present totality, transcendent totality, and we talk and we navigate and we make fun of and we, you know, play around and we do what we do, but the bottom line of it is that I don't know what the hell this is, and I would argue that as we become more accustomed to feeling this on its terms and withdrawing or fasting from abstraction, from hypotheticalism, from the blasphemy of space-time, something's going to happen.
It does seem like there's more space for so-called enjoyment when you're not consumed by a low-grade hysteria, as you've called it, or panic. Panic.
Yeah, when you're fasting from panic.
Hypothetical panic.
This is a funhouse. from the vantage point of, you know, those that have reported on self-realization, we have to just take their word for it. I don't know, joyful incomprehensibility. Instead of planning for the future, well, why not live in it? Instead of bracing for the future, give everything away. You might discover you don't have to remain in some kind of contemplative stupor with your eyes rolled up in the back of your head for this to be this. And that's a little peculiar because we're so accustomed to occupying our experience from the vantage point of a person, of the planner, the doer, the getter. So it is a little strange to, let's use the word, occupy your present experience as absolute vacuity.
Unidentified plasma. Well, that is what you mean by give away, because that can easily be, in my head, I start misconstruing that instantaneously as a person giving, or whatever, you know, but...
Yes.
Giving away is the give away all the ideas of what you think this is.
You are a UVO, an unidentified vacuous object.
And even object is saying a little too much.
I know. It is saying a little too much. Saying anything is saying a little too much. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's curious, you know, it's like fractured identity looks like past, present, and future and nonstop panic, right? Then you could say it as it matures or as a reduction sauce, right, blows off what's unessential, non-essential, it will come to so-called perfect identity, which is, oh my God, this is this. And the sense of being the recipient of or other than this, right, is relaxed and relaxed and relaxed. And it's like, whoa, this is this. And, whoa, I must be whatever this is. But hopefully that doesn't last very long. You know, 1 or 2 seconds is good. Then you go to no identification at all. And you vape out. That's right. You've been vaped. Yeah. Yeah. All your essential oils have been inhaled by the great turtle, and what's left of you is just charred roughage. Charred leafage. You've been vaped out. The Green Lantern knows what we're talking about. Time to go get some, right?
Well, I'm headed back to my house and thinking about
party at Lisa's house.
Yeah. I need to go walk a dog. I'm not sure if I'll come back.
That's okay.
share breakfast and lunch for me.
Oh, yeah. You doubled up.
If I were a camel, ready for the desert.
I were a camel,
I'd be humping all the time.
Humping in the morning, humping in the evening, all over this land. I'd hump out a warning.
I'd hump out a Like, is this a real song? You guys seem to know it.
Yeah, well, the tune is...
Okay, I get it now.
I'd hump around my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
Oh, I get it. You guys just have it.
Yes. It's like playing Mad Libs.
Maybe we should turn off the recorder.